Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
There's three Sundays left in October, and so we're going to jump in for the next three Sundays into this series on temptation. Now, I just did a series a few weeks ago called Paparazzi, and it dealt with James. We'll get into a little bit of James, but mainly Matthew 4, and then we're going to go all the way back to Genesis 3. I don't think we'll get to Genesis 3 today, but Matthew, James, Genesis will be the context of this series on temptation. One verse, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That is a strange verse. It is a scary verse if you don't realize why. But Jesus was led of the Spirit, big S, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want to preach for just a few moments on temptation, overcoming the devil's lies. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You may be seated. How many, and you don't have to lift your hand, but this isn't a rhetorical question. If you'd like to lift your hand, you can. How many of you deal with temptation? Raise your hand. Somebody said, not me. I want to live in that world. I'm tempted every day. Some of those are derailing temptation that could literally ruin marriage, ruin family, ruin ministry, ruin future. Some of those are temptations just to get a couple breakfast tacos more than you should. Or go to Krispy Kreme. Does it always seem like the light's on when you drive by Krispy Kreme and sometimes you don't even turn, your car just turns in itself? We're all tempted. Every day we deal with temptation. And I know that we've laughed about it, but temptation is a very real issue for everybody. Temptation is not something that only happens to believers. Temptation attacks and it happens with unbelievers and believers alike. It is one of the greatest weapons, strategies, and tactics that the devil uses against us. That is temptation. Temptation will do four things. It will keep you from. You can fill in the blank. It will stagnate you. It will drag you back, or it will take you places you were never meant to go. The end result of temptation, if we give in to temptation, is never good. Through temptation, Satan will take you farther than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. So the goal of this series in diving into God's Word is to make sure that when temptation comes, we know how to combat that temptation. We know how to put the devil in his place. Remember, the devil is supposed to be behind you or under your feet, and I would prefer him to be under my feet because that means I get to tap dance on his head all day long. I want to encourage you that when temptation comes, there is a way not to escape temptation. There is a way to overcome temptation. Because a lot of us run away from the fight, but there is no escaping temptation, but there is, come on, overriding and overcoming and overruling the tempter, which is the devil. You've heard me say many times, the devil tempts you so that you will fail, but God tests you so that you will be promoted. You are tested on material you know. However, the enemy tempts you on material we should know, but he hopes that we do not. The devil will tempt you and will bring about issues and circumstances, and he will set up all of the things in your life to make you fall and to make you fall into temptation or jump into temptation. But he always sets it up, and he's always coming at it from not the place where we're confident in, but he always comes at it from the place that we are not confident in. I love how this says it. When the devil wants what you have, he attacks you. But when the devil wants you out of the will of God, he tempts you. If you're under attack, it's because he wants what you have. But if you're being tempted, it's because he doesn't want you to stay in the will of God. He wants you to get out of the will of God, and so he entices you and he tempts you to get your focus off of Jesus, to get your focus off of the resurrection, to get your focus off of the Holy Spirit, and takes you to the side. Every temptation that we face is not a sin. However, some is just used to manipulate us out of God's perfect will. Temptation is designed to break your momentum, to scatter your focus, and to weaken your faith. Momentum is an amazing thing, and I love to preach about momentum, and I love to teach on momentum, because momentum is made up of moments that you stack upon one upon the other, and things that you could not do under normal circumstances. If you have the right momentum, you can bust through anything that the adversary puts in front of you. And so that's why it's good for us to celebrate every small victory. It doesn't have to be a huge victory for us to celebrate. It can be a small victory that nobody else knows about but us. And so listen, when your kid brings home a B instead of a D, celebrate them. When your husband takes out the trash, when you only had to ask him twice instead of eight times, celebrate them. When your wife doesn't have 10 Amazon packages showing up every day and it's gone down to just a couple of weeks, celebrate her. Celebrate the small victories in your life, because it makes momentum. And when you have momentum, church, it is hard for the enemy to get you off focus and to break that momentum. And so when a temptation comes up on Monday, you are full of the Holy Ghost and have so much momentum built up that you bust right through that temptation. You go right past that temptation, not even giving it a second thought. So he gives, that brings temptation to break momentum. He brings temptation to scatter our focus. So much of us are focused on 10 different things right now, and none of them are what God wants us to be focused on. So many of us are up in arms right now about November 3rd and who's going to win, and all of the things going on in the political climate, and then the pandemic and epidemics, and what's going on with Russia and what's going on with China. And I don't think we should have to wear a mask. No, everybody should wear a mask. And I think we should shut everything down. No, we should open everything up. And the devil loves seeing what he has done in our country the last 10 months, because he's gotten our eyes off of the main thing and he scattered our focus on other things. And the temptation to get our eyes off of Jesus in a moment doesn't mean much, but if you go more than a day or two without looking to Jesus and focusing on his word, it is going to begin to tear and deteriorate your family, your life, and where God and what God has called you to do. The third thing temptation does is designed to weaken your faith. Every time temptation shows up, it is to derail your faith. The faith that we shout about on Sunday, the faith that we do our best to build Monday through Friday by spending time with God in worship and study and whatever we're doing, every time a temptation comes, when we give into that temptation, our faith gets a little weaker and our flesh gets a little stronger. But every time you tell the devil, nope, I'm not going to do that, nope, I'm not going down that road, what is happening is your faith is getting stronger. And the devil knows, no, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. He's too strong. She's too strong. James chapter 1, verse 12, the King James Version reads it like this: blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I love any time the Bible says blessed or blessed at the beginning of any portion of Scripture, because here is a promise and here is a blessing. And so he says blessed, and then it's an open book test. He tells us what we need to do to get this blessing. Now understand this. I believe that as believers, we live a blessed life. However, I also believe that there are some blessings that are locked and behind closed doors until we walk in an obedience that is unusual for people to walk in. And in this case, it's when temptation shows up, you don't cry about it, you don't whine about it, but you endure it and you make it to the other side of it. And when you do that, the Bible says there is a special blessing for those who make it through temptation. We need to start declaring, I will outlive temptation. I will outlive temptation. You can keep bringing that stuff to me, devil, and every time I'm going to say no. Every time I'm going to say no thanks. And eventually I'm going to get enough faith and enough and enough nerve to tell you, not only do I not want that temptation, not only am I not going to do that, devil, you need to get behind me and you need to get under my feet. You don't have rights. You don't have authority to talk to me like that. I am a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And you don't have that access to me anymore. You work for me. I don't work for you. You are my employee. I am your employer. Temptation is not supposed to be fun or easy, but it is possible to smile and keep moving. Smile and keep moving. You ever offer something to somebody that they didn't want, and they put on that fake smile, and they say, you know, thank you, and they just keep moving? That's like, you don't got to like the temptation. You don't have to enjoy it. You don't have to embrace it. You don't have to fall in love with it. You don't have to marry it, but you do have to endure it. But enduring, it doesn't mean that you stop where it is. Endure means I'm going through, and there's a process of time, and that temptation is not going to last for the rest of my life. I'm going to make it through temptation. I'm going to endure. I'm going to get a special blessing, and when temptation comes, it's not going to be fun or easy for me, but I will move through it. I love this. Satan tempts us. Life tries us. God tests us. Satan tempts us. Life tries us. God tests us. He said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. There's the temptation. For when he tries us, for when he is tried, when he is tried, when the person going through temptation is tried, meaning the trying is not up to the adversary. Trying is life. You are going to go through some things. The devil tempts you to make you fail. The devil the world tries you. The earth tries you. Your time on this earth tries you and makes you stronger. But God tests you to promote you. And I love this because the blessing that comes with the endure of temptation means that there is blessings that I cannot get unless I'm willing to endure temptation. Some of us are praying temptation away. Don't pray temptation away. Just put it under your feet and move past it. Because if you pray temptation away, you're praying the blessing that God has for you by enduring that temptation. I'm not praying it away. I'm saying, God, through this temptation, be my strength. Make me a better man of God. And when I get through this temptation, I will have learned something. I'll be stronger. I'll be better. I'll be wiser. I'll be more anointed. Oh, yeah. And I'll have a blessing that I could not have gotten if I had avoided the temptation. Let no man say, verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. That's a bad spoiler alert. Every man is tempted. Every person is tempted. Tempted to do what? Tempted to quit. Tempted to stop. Tempted to backslide. Tempted to cheat on your wife. Tempted to leave your spouse. Tempted to walk out. I heard a very well-known pastor say every once in a while on his way to church, when he gets to the church parking lot and get ready to turn in to the church parking lot, he says the devil just tells him, keep driving and never come back. That's one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. What does he do? He keeps turning the wheel, going to church. I want to encourage you, don't quit, don't stop. Whatever he's tempting you to do, there's something greater ahead of you. That's why he's tempting you. Whatever he's tempting you with does not compare with what God is taking you to. Don't stop for the temptation. The temptation is not worth it. That secretary at work is not worth your family. Come on now. Cutting off some rungs of the ladder and climbing over people, the corporate ladder, that's not worth it. Don't take the temptation. There's a blessing that is in front of you that is greater than whatever you can get to get the temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil makes sure that our flesh lusts after what is readily available. The devil makes sure that our flesh lusts after what is readily available. And the devil will not tempt you with something that you do not like. The devil does not tempt me with kale chips. Come on, Brandon, become a vegan. It's amazing. A vegetarian, no more steaks. It's going to be awesome. He doesn't entice me with desserts named after vegetables. Carrot cake, no thank you. Key lime pie, uh-uh. But you give me some cheesecake. You say, yeah, but it's cheese. I love cheese and I love cake, so cheesecake works. He tempts me with what I like. I've talked about Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme, in my estimation, is the worst donut ever made. The best donut ever made is H-E-B, believe it or not. Fresh? God bless. So when Tyler said Walmart, get out of here, blasphemous. What? So Bishop is told, hey, you want to go to Krispy Kreme? No, I'm good. I'm good. But the moment I start trying to eat right, somebody here at the office emails me, calls me, Pastor Brandon, there's 24 H-E-B donuts in the green room. Your boy's like, 24? You have this many staff. All right, your boy can take 12. They won't miss it. I'm tempted with what I like. If you don't like it, you're not going to be tempted with it because you don't have to endure something you like. You endure something that you don't have to endure something you don't like. You endure the things that you do like that you know you shouldn't partake in. And so I'm talking to somebody today that the devil has tried to mess with your 2020 by getting your eyes off of Jesus and on the stuff that you like. But I am here to tell you, when you got saved, when you knelt down at the cross, when the blood of Jesus was applied fresh to your life, guess what? You became a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old desires are passed away. Old likes are passed away. Old wants are passed away. Old things you like are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I talk to you about your relationships? Your relationships become new. What you want to do with your time becomes new. How you talk to people becomes new. What you talk about becomes new. All because God has regened you and you have changed and transformed from the inside out. But remember, temptation is designed to keep us from, to keep us here, to take us back, or to take us someplace where we do not want to go that is out of the will of God. And so what does the devil? The devil doesn't entice you with future. He entices you with things of your past. And then your flesh starts saying, hey, remember when? Man, that was so good. Come on now. Nostalgia is a dangerous thing. Because nostalgia always makes you think that that was better than it really was. See, nostalgia makes you think of how much fun you had in the club, but it forgets about the pounding headache you had the night after when you couldn't drag yourself out of bed and it cost you your relationships, your family, your wife, your job. The nostalgia likes to tell you how good you felt on that high when you put that substance up your nose or in your veins, but what it fails to tell you is how it cost you your life and how it took off years at the end of your life, and maybe it got you incarcerated. And so the devil loves to cover that, but he loves to bring those things back, saying, remember when? Boy, that was fun. And he entices you to go back. He entices you with not what you love, what you used to love. Brings it to your remembrance. Brings people. There are people that you hadn't talked to in 3 years that during the quarantine, the devil tried to use them to text you. To text you and remind you the fun y'all used to have. Y'all didn't have fun. That's not fun. You're a better person now than you were then. Don't go back. Don't fall in the trap. Don't listen to temptation. Come on, church. Get with me now. Here is something that you need to understand. Temptation is never, the end result is never good. But for everybody that stands in the face of temptation and says, hey, I'm not the man I used to be. That's no longer fun. I don't get down like that. That's not funny. That's not me. I am like Jesus. I got enough Holy Ghost on the inside of me. If I try to drink that, smoke that, it's going to make me sick. I can't do that anymore. I can't party all night Saturday. Why? Because I'm ushering on Sunday. I'm singing on Sunday. I'm serving on Sunday. I can't give in to that temptation because my now and my next is determined on me to endure the temptation and to tell the devil no. There's a big movement. No means no, which it does. We got to tell the devil no. And the devil sometimes doesn't take that no for the end answer. And so you got to tell him no again. And then when he messes with your money, you got to say, no, not my money either. Then he starts reaching for your kids. Nope, not them either. Then he starts reaching for your merit. Nope, not that either. No means no. And I found it out that if I don't tell him no, he starts thinking that my no was a soft no. Nope, it's a hard no. And so Monday I get up telling the devil, nope, not today. Tuesday I get up saying, nope, not today. Wednesday, even if I'm weak, I can whisper, no, not today. I'm not putting up with it. I've come too far. I've got too much invested. No. When lust has conceived, let me back up. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. We ultimately make the decision. The devil tempts us, but we make the decision. comes back to what my mom has preached and taught me and my brother all of our lives, that everything in life is a choice. And I'm about to say some truth right now, and it's going to get real quiet, but that's okay. But I need to encourage you and let you know that when you buy into this principle, this revelation that everything is a choice, it will change your life. Depression is a choice. Depression, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Everything you're going through, somebody else is going through, and they choose to lift their head and wipe their tears and say, nope, I'm not going to take the easy way out. Nope, I'm not going to commit suicide. Nope, I'm not going to leave my family high and dry. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. I'm not making naive the problem of depression and suicidal thoughts, but I am here to tell you, you've got a reason to live. You know Jesus. Choose Jesus. Choose life, and tell the devil no. Addiction is a choice. You going to places that you know what things are going to be done at those places, that is your choice. Quit setting yourself up for failure. Quit going to the party and then being surprised that you've fallen off the wagon again and you started drinking again. Quit hanging out with people that you know are going to be down in the corner before you meet with them later on in the day. Quit hanging out with womanizers. Quit hanging out with people that are sleeping around on their spouse. Make a choice today and say, no, God has saved me. God has redeemed me. I don't want to live that way. I don't have to live that way. And tell temptation, no. Brings it to us. We make the choice to get involved. There's a difference, you heard me say it, between falling into sin and jumping into sin. You only fall once. Every other time is a jump. Every other time you make the decision. Verse 15, it goes on to say, then when lust has conceived. See, that temptation causes us to be drawn away by our own lust, what our past offers us, and we are enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finished, it brings forth death. This is where temptation gets scary. Every temptation that we face does not start off as sin. But if you leave it unchecked, it will ultimately take you to sin. And sin will take you to death. You say, prove that, Pastor. Very easy. You were tempted today when your alarm went off to roll over and go back to church. Where are all my snooze people at? You hit snooze 3, 4, 5 times before you got up. Annoyed your spouse to all in. I'm a snooze guy. I set like 4 alarms and I just keep hitting snooze. But when you were tempted to miss church, you just said, it's 1 service out of 3. There's 52 weeks. There's 156 services a week there on Wednesdays and Sundays. I can miss one. But what if the one you missed was the one that God was going to give you a word that was going to transform your life, take you to destiny? What if that one time you stayed home from church, old boy stopped by the apartment at 11:25? Where if you had been at church, old boy would have rung the doorbell and you wouldn't answer because you would have been at church. But because you weren't at church, you opened the door and old boy was standing there and you thought, boy, he looks a lot better now than he did then. Old boy, I'm just going to call him old boy for the rest of the service. Old boy comes in. And one decision that wasn't sin has now led you to a place where you're having to make all of these decisions on whether you're going to keep on moving with Jesus or whether you're going to go back to who you used to be, all because you were tempted on something that seemed so superficial. But the superficial decision led to a more important decision and led to a greater temptation. And then if we don't pass that temptation, we look up and 6 months down the road, our life has taken a drastic turn, all because we hit snooze 1 too many times and we said, well, there'll be next Sunday. Yes, there will be next Sunday unless Jesus comes back on Monday. Come on, church. I'm living like he's coming back this afternoon. I'm living like he's going to split the eastern sky before we end church today. But listen, I'm working and I'm serving like he's not. So that's why I'm preaching to you today. Get your life right with Jesus. But when temptation comes, you have to be able to stand on truth, stand on the word, operate in faith, and tell the devil no. Tell the devil no. I say no. Verse 16, James ends with this: do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make the mistake of falling into temptation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 should be highlighted, circled in your Bible. It should be something that you rely on and lean into many times. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's a double negative there. What it's saying is that we do have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. How can Jesus feel what we feel? Because it says, at all points, he was tempted like we are. Yet he was without sin. But listen, God blew my mind the last couple weeks as I was starting to lay out this sermon. Because I preached Hebrews 4:15 by itself, and then I preached Hebrews 4:16 by itself. But when context brings them together, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. I know that we start talking about coming boldly so that we can get new cars, bigger houses, and bigger bank accounts, and I'm okay with that. But what's more important with any of that in the context of the writer of Hebrews, what he's saying is when you are tempted, you've got a direct line and access to get to God and come to the throne of grace. And God will give you everything you need to overcome the devil, to overcome the temptation, to be able to stand there on Monday when the praise team ain't here and Bishop isn't preaching in your ear and tell the devil, you go to hell and I'm not going to do anything you want me to do because I've got a God that will supply me grace when I need it. And I love that. I love that. Temptation comes and I just tell the devil, hold on a second. And I boldly approach the throne. This is the temptation, God. I know that me and you have a plan for my life. I know that I'm following that plan. But what he's offering looks mighty enticing. And I'm weak in this moment. And I know in my weakness, God, you're made strong. And so I boldly come to you. And what I need you to do is give me enough grace right now so that I can go back and tell him, no, that's all I need from you today. I know I can use some money. I don't need money right now. I need the grace for me to go. I need the strength for me to stand. And God gives it liberally to me. And then I come back to the devil and I say, can you give me the temptation again and let me hear it out? And see, now I've got more boldness, because my boldness that brought me to God gives me boldness when I talk to the adversary. And when he lays all of the temptation out, I can just say, I don't even have to think about it. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going down that road. And then the devil tries to cut me off. Well, you're not really thinking, no, I don't need to hear your spiel. I don't need you to hear, tell me all the things that it's going to do in my life. I've got enough relationship with God to know that you are bad news and anything you're telling me is a lie. And I believe the word of God over everything you're telling me. Boldness with God gives me boldness to talk to the adversary. The good news, Hebrews 4:15, that Jesus faced every temptation we will ever face. And he overcame. He overcame everything that we have ever faced. They tried to get Jesus drunk. You say, where's that in the Bible? It says he was tempted every way. Women came on to Jesus and he said no. That mess your theology up? Men came on to Jesus and he said no. They tried to get him high. Marijuana's not new, folks. He said, no, I don't. I'm the high priest already. I don't need your high. I'm already high enough. Come on, somebody. That means every time that the devil shows up with a temptation, I think, hold on now. I have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It now dwells in me. The spirit that I have was contained in an earthly body 2,000 years ago. And every time a temptation, you say, oh, yeah, but he was all God and all man. Yeah, but I've got God and he's wrapped up in this man. And I'm here to tell you that every time the temptation shows up, I just think back. If Jesus said no, Brandon can say no. If Jesus put his foot down, Brandon can put his foot down. I need somebody to jump up on your feet, give God a big praise, and tell the devil no. I've said this a lot the last year. If we use more common sense, we'd need less miracle. Sometimes temptation, when we succumb to it, we choose it, it puts us in a place, church, where we need miracle. Because we said yes to the adversary on a Monday, all hell breaks loose, and then we come to God on a Friday saying, I need a miracle. And I love God because he still gives us the miracle. But God is also saying, hey, listen, if you had just said no on Monday, we would have been dealing with this on Friday. If you would have just said no in March, that's where I've won this year. And I just want to be honest with you. I'm a winner this year because when the pandemic broke out, I was sad for about 36 hours when we had to shut down the church for 7 weeks having people in the building. But then I just said, you know what? This is going to be a blessing. We're going to get our live stream. We're going to upgrade that ministry. We're going to reach more people. We're reaching more people now. Even the building is yet to fill back up like it was. We're reaching more people now because of people in the room and online. I've won this year because when the devil came in, I just said, nah, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to be the best I can be. I'm not going to be sorrowful, not going to whine, not going to complain. I'm going to get the heck away from people that do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to stay focused on him. And I'm going to keep telling the devil no. 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 Next week we get into Jesus' temptation. But before that we get to the place where I don't know what you're going through today, church, in this room today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's torn you down. But I do know this. God knows. Hebrews 4, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. I love to say it like this. If it affects us, it affects him. He knows how to get over it, to get through it, because he was tempted the same way. He was tempted to quit, tempted to stop, tempted to fight back, but he remained peaceful. I want to encourage somebody today. You don't have to fight this fight alone. There's a God that says, boldly come. Right here today, Hebrews 4:16, in effect, boldly come to the throne of grace. That throne of grace looks like an altar at Living Way today. It might be your couch tomorrow. It might be your prayer closet on Thursday. But right here today, in this room, it's an altar. I've got two women, but I need about another dozen people in this room to say,